The Hotel Denouement, she realized, must be the last safe place for volunteers to gather. And Olaf was so excited that he had uttered the name inadvertently, a word which here means where the youngest Baudelaire could hear it. "The idea of all those eagles filling the sky makes me so excited. I'm going to smoke one of those green cigarettes," Esme announced, and then frowned. "Except I don't have one. Drat!"
"Beg your pardon, your Esme ship," said one of the white-faced women, "but I see some of that green smoke down at the bottom of the waterfall."
"Really?" Esme asked eagerly, and looked in the direction Olaf's employee was pointing. Sunny looked too, and saw a familiar plume of green smoke at the very bottom of the slope, getting bigger and bigger as the sun continued to rise. The youngest Baudelaire wondered why her siblings were signalling her, and what they were trying to say.
"That's strange," Olaf said. "You'd think there'd be nothing left of the headquarters to burn."
"Look how much smoke there is," Esme said greedily. "There must be a whole pack of cigarettes down there. This day is getting even better." Count Olaf smiled, and then looked away from the waterfall and noticed Sunny for the first time.
"I'll have the baby go down and get them for you," Count Olaf said.
"Yes, sir,"
Sunny said eagerly. "The baby would probably steal all the cigarettes for herself," Esme said, glaring at the young girl. "I'll go."
"But climbing down there will take hours," Olaf said. "Don't you want to be here for the recruitment scheme? I just love springing traps on people."
"Me too," Esme agreed. "But don't worry, Olaf. I'll be back in moments. I'm not going to climb. I'll take one of the toboggans and sled down the waterfall before anyone even notices I'm gone."
"Trat,"
Sunny couldn't help saying. She meant something along the lines of, "That is exactly what I was planning on doing." But once again, no one understood.
"Shut up, Toothy,"
Esme said, "and get out of my way." She flounced past the youngest Baudelaire, and Sunny realized that there was something sewn to the bottom of the dress that made it make a crackling sound as she walked, so that the wicked girlfriend sounded as much like a fire as she looked like one. Blowing a kiss to Count Olaf, she grabbed the toboggan belonging to the sinister villains. "I'll be right back, darling," Esme said. "Tell that baby to take a nap, so she won't see what we're up to."
"Esme's right," Olaf said, giving Sunny a cruel smile. "Get in the casserole dish. You're such an ugly, helpless creature. I can scarcely stand to look at you."
"You said it, handsome," Esme said, and chuckled meanly as she sat at the top of the waterfall. The two white-faced women scurried to help and gave the toboggan a big push, as Sunny did as she was told, and disappeared from Olaf's sight. As you may imagine, the sight of a grown woman in an enormous flame-imitating dress tobogganing down from the source of the stricken stream to the two tributaries and the half-frozen pool at the bottom of the waterfall is not the sort of thing to pass unnoticed, even from far away. Violet was the first to see the colourful blur heading quickly down the slope, and she lowered Colette's hand mirror, which she had used once again to catch the rays of the rising sun and reflect them onto the verdant, flammable devices which she had put in a pile in front of the pit.